Sometimes we are the cause, and sometimes troubles just happen. In the book of Genesis, we're up to chapter 16. What happened was very clear. Abram and Sarai were worn out with worry. Abram's deepest heart's desire was for heirs, and that wasn't looking good. God promised them a child, but that was years and years ago. And to compound the family troubles, each day that went by, Sarai and Abram were getting older. Still, God's promise hadn't happened. Sarai's childbearing years were no longer. They believed God's promise was not to be, and there'd be no family heirs. Enters into the family story is Hagar, Sarai's maidservant. Sarai was not waiting anymore on God. She's not waiting on his promises, so she goes to Abram and says, as you heard in scripture, "The Lord's kept me from having children, so I want you to go and sleep with my slave. Maybe I can have a family through her." So what does Abram do? He says, "Sure. Why not?" And she became pregnant. Hagar started looking down on Sarai. And then Sarai went to Abram and said, "It's all your fault that I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms. Now she knows she's pregnant, and she looks down on me." Abram said, "Listen, she's your slave. You do what is best." So Sarai treated Hagar badly, most likely with great injustice and harsh, laborious work, and perhaps verbal abuse, better known as bullying. Bullying is very serious. It's not a laughing matter. Perhaps some of us here today has been bullied, maybe in your childhood years. I was the receiving end of being bullied. It was then called teasing. My mother would say, I was in third grade, "Where's your glasses?" And I'd say, "I lost them." And she'd say, "Well, how could you lose them?" And she went and bought another pair. And months later, I took a hammer to the glasses. And they were so pretty. They were blue and glitter with the little points here. And she bought me another pair. Why do you think I was having so many misfortunes with my glasses? One day she asked, "Why are your glasses in your sister's lunchbox?" Every day on the bus, I told my sister she could wear them. It seemed like everywhere I would go, in the cafeteria, the stairways, the hallways, he was there making fun of me and my glasses. I was desperate. Being bullied drives one to be desperate. Today's kids take much more serious measure, sad to say, to get away from bullies. So Hagar ran away from Sarai. She was pregnant, on foot, in the desert. She had a weak plan, maybe not a plan at all, but started heading back to Egypt, where pagans lived, if she made it. She was feeling desperate. She had nothing but brokenness. And then an angel of the Lord comes, and Hagar is sitting there near the spring of water. And the angel says, "Hagar, you're Sarai's slave. Where did you come from? Where are you going?" As if he didn't know. God knows us inside and outside. He knows our heart. "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" Sarai. Hagar says, I'm running away from Sarai. Are we like Hagar? Do we think about walking away or running away? There could be any number of reasons to run away. Marriage is in trouble, divorce ripping lives apart, raw truths, deep guilt, can't find God, feeling the darkness, maybe feeling sad and don't know why. Are we runaways? We must keep our feet steady on the ground and listen for God as He has a plan for us. Let Him meet us just as He met Hagar in the desert. Whether it's in communion or in nature or in prayer or through a coworker or a friend, He cares. He wants to help. He says, where are you going? God wants to help us start again, right there in the middle of our tears in the desert. He wants for us to experience a new life and know the power of resurrection. He promises us in Scripture, in Romans, He says that He's working something real good in us. Do you know the full story of Sarai? God changes her name later. It's Sarah. He worked not only good, but fantastic good in her. He blessed her with a child after her childbearing years, after 25 years of His promise. It came true. Some part of those years, well, she didn't wait very well, but He still blessed her, just as He has blessed us, so that we can tell our great testimony to people and give Him the glory. I wonder, up to chapter 16, what Sarai's testimony would be. What would she say? Would it look like something like this? We got it? Or end with this. I wonder what Hagar's testimony would be. I wonder what she would say by chapter 16 at this point in her life. We have brothers and sisters here today that were asked to share their story, their testimony on their cardboard. There's one more testimony, Jesus' testimony. What does His testimony sound like? Well, He was betrayed, He was rejected, He was tortured, He was nailed to a cross. And for 3 days, He didn't make any sense. And the disciples, they were torn. They were rejected. They had to hide. And it turned into be the greatest story on earth. A story of love and redemption. A story for the world. And a story that continues on throughout history. And we know the purpose of that time in Jesus' life. It was to save us and have eternal life, and to give us hope if we want it. He gives us free will too. We just have to ask Him into our lives. It's as simple as that. So I think that mankind's testimony would be, hallelujah. That's what we can call our testimony. He's alive. He's alive. And these testimonies here today are proof of how he's worked in their lives. Let us pray. Lord, you give us free will because you love us. You want us to make the choice to just say, Jesus, come into my life. And thank you for the gift of eternal life and the gift of your love. You can say that in your heart. We lift this up to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.